Solly's looking for a high number. 280,000 is their call.
Fuck Solomon Brothers.
Fuck Solomon Brothers?
Yeah, fuck Solomon Brothers. They're hedging their bets. Want everybody on their side of the fence.
What's the big deal with the employment number anyway? When it's a feline.
Whatever. Look, more jobs means fewer people looking for work. Means it's harder to find good people to fill those jobs. Means you got to raise wages to get them. Means inflation goes up. You got it?
Yeah.
Nah, I didn't think so. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, and you're handing out junk mail. Now get off my desk.
Sorry about that.
You know you're wearing a striped shirt with a striped tie. You know that, right?
Yeah, I do it for the ladies. Like.
Oh, do the ladies ever tell you that you look like a fucking optical illusion? Yeah? Go away. Disappear. Come on.
I'm out of here.
At the end of the block, talking to kids, telling them how they had to get the dough. So I roll right up in the cipher and say, yo.
So hi and welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas. And guys, I used to have a gambling problem, but then I didn't. And I was Clive Owen, and we watched Croupier. Anyways,
tried. No,
Damian,
no, you did not. Nope.
Can't you give me a point for
that
trying?
Does not count as a try. Nope.
There is no try.
Based on every footballer rule.
There is no try.
Mm-hmm. There is failure
there is
and
just
success.
Do. Or whatever that line is.
Nope. Once again. Nope.
It's not May
stop
the 4th.
It. Stop
but
it.
But it's the first nope. podcast we've
Can you guys stop talking,
you know,
please?
Recorded after May
so
the 4th.
Can.
So
mm-hmm.
we had to do
what
a happens
on May the
4th?
Today is May the 4th.
Today's May the 4th?
Yes.
Yes, May the 4th be with you!
Fuck you. You didn't say that to me? Why else
no,
would he care about
I knew that's what the thing was, but I thought like, at this point he would have given up, you know? Like, he didn't even know the date.
I don't know what the date is.
Oh, wait.
Mm-hmm.
Give me one second. I want to mention this because it's coming up to the end of this campaign, and while we've had our many debates about the world of Kickstarter, I want to take a minute to kind of advertise someone's Kickstarter that's going on now. Friend of the show, Lindsay Ragone, otherwise known as Mrs. Hatter to some, is doing a Kickstarter for her documentary. Braingasm is the name she's titled it, and it's about ASMR. I'm going to leave a link in the show notes for everyone to go over there and help out. I know it's coming to the end of the campaign, and I mean, it'd be a big help if you could contribute.
It's about gasms to the brain. I remember when she was explaining the concept, and I was like, ah, oh, it's kind of cool. oh my goodness.
Anyways, yes.
Oh, wait, what?
Huh?
What's happening?
I'm going to do my best to cut that to the beginning and mm-hmm. make this sound somewhat cohesive. Is this show ever cohesive? Not really, right?
Cohesive adjacent? No.
Perpendicular?
Orthogonal?
I'm going to pretend you guys don't exist until you stop this.
This week,
this shenanigans.
Damian has asked us to sit down and watch the 1998 classic starring Clive Owen, directed by the man who gave us the 1971 film Get Carter. Croupier.
It's all numbers, the croupier thought. Spin of the wheel, turn of the card, time of your life, date of your birth, year of your death. You have to make the choice in life. Be a gambler or a croupier, and then live with your decision come what may.
Clive Owen plays Clive Owen. probably for the first time. No, pretty sure it's Clive
it
Owen
might
something.
Feel like the first time.
When was 1998? Like 4 years ago?
I was young. I shouldn't say that sentence. I feel dumb saying that sentence because I feel old people will just give me glaring looks and call me a scallywag.
What old people are you talking about? Who in their right? Douglas, you barely count.
Anyways, croupier.
We've been giving you the benefit of the doubt for a while. Let's not get carried away. Alright, so Clive Owen plays a dealer, I guess, a casino dealer.
What?
Casino.
What?
Work person. Contractor.
You mean what you do?
I don't work at a casino.
Yeah, don't it?
I work in prostitution. There's a big difference. And, I mean, they're croupier is the term, but I've never heard of that term until this movie. So he plays the dealers. He's one of the dealers in the casino. And of course he has rules, because you have to have rules in these movies. And he's an aspiring writer, and the job kind of falls in his lap. He is good at it for some reason that they explain later, but is not really necessary. And things start to happen once he is employed at this casino. And the movie is just following Clive Owen and his exploits from him starting to work there until there is a big decision that has to be made, and everything kind of comes to a head, and there is a twist at the end.
Is it a lemon twist?
By modern standards, it is a pretty bad one. But I'm guessing in 1998, this was acceptable. Because there's a lot of people who really, really, really like this movie.
Also, this movie kind of feels like it's a made-for-TV movie.
I guess it feels like that now. Again, only coming to it 16 years after the fact. People really love this movie. And that is why I gave it that. I went, alright. I like Clive Owen. He's never going to act again.
He's done now.
So, yeah,
he's,
I guess.
Like, we can now canonize him and just start.
He made Children of Men and then threw all of that goodwill away with Shoot 'Em Up and went, I'm out. And
but Shoot 'Em Up is fantastic.
Shoot 'Em Up is one of the greatest films ever made.
Yes, for us. Pretty sure that movie made $13. And then Hollywood went, alright. We have enough British people.
Jason Statham is
scurrying back
out
to whatever hole you crawl out of. This movie's average. Alright, the things I don't like is the script. Clive Owen is narrating this movie from start to finish, and he's doing it in a tone and in a manner that I found extremely annoying.
I'm not alone!
Yeah, it doesn't help that he's wearing the most ridiculous hat I've seen in probably movie history.
What about the hat in Lupo?
I like the hat in Lupo. This is pathetic.
You like the hats in Lupo?
Yeah.
The future mafia
hat? Yeah, I like future mafia hat. This this is...
Looks like they're from the Children of the Corn.
This is just the dumbest. I do not like the script. I don't like most of the dialogue. It feels written. It doesn't feel like it feels like someone. You can tell that they're a writer wrote this. It doesn't feel natural at all. A lot of the things that people said. A lot of the things that people said to each other. I'm like, no, humans don't talk like that. Those words have never been said to anybody. And the movie follows, I guess now, what is a template. I don't know if it was then. Can't know if it was then. I can only judge what I see now. It feels formulaic, although who knows. Clive Owen is a man, and he is resolved to have rules that he sticks by, and as long as he follows the rules, then these things happen. And he goes through and he breaks pretty much all of the rules, and
so
every time
the following,
every time a rule is broken, he's punished, but not really. And by the end of the movie, nothing really happens. And so, like, the movie isn't, I don't think it's a bad movie, but based on the expectations that I went in to this movie with, it's not great. I don't think this movie is great at all. I have many a problem with it, but I'd suggest that a lot of people at least give it a chance. There might be something there that I missed the first time on our site. I'm probably going to watch it again though, just to see. I think it deserves at least a second viewing. Many opinion on this podcast has been changed by watching things a second time. Sometimes it backfires. Let's hope this is not one of those times. Douglas.
Mr. White.
Yes. How do you feel?
Well, first and foremost, let me say that you have made me watch a movie that can never, never get a 10 out of 10. And that's pretty much because you have to knock at least 1 or 2 points off for the fact that I can't get it in the proper definition.
Fine.
Right. I looked hard. I looked
The Netflix has it
far and wide
in a lot of depth,
yes,
but not the
but
most.
Not
amount
the most
of
depth. Not the most depth. Yeah. I was very upset about that. But anyway, and considering who picked this movie,
You're justified.
I was uncertain on what was going on. Anyway,
for a long time, I actually thought we couldn't find it because the email said croupiers. And I was dead set on believing, because of that reason, that we were going to watch
the wrong movie.
That's
funny. Hey, it's happened before. What was it? Leaves of grass versus blades of grass, or some shit like that? Anyway.
Cause of grass. What?
Yes. So, that movie. The thing about this movie, right, is that this movie is cold, and it is very stiff, and it doesn't flow right. It feels like, you know, some sort of awkward animal getting out of a cocoon or something. It just doesn't move right. As Damian says, it's very much trying to be, and it's, you know, 98. I wouldn't call this early in filmmaking history, but okay, you know, it would be before the big bang of movies like this, where essentially this is a heist movie. Okay,
I usually don't like to do this. This is usually Damian's job.
Yeah.
You know, telling people dumb shit they've said.
Yep.
But film noir has existed for a really, really long time. Big bang of heist movies, like
of very popular ones. Ocean's 11 was like the got really big, and a lot of movies came up. I'm not saying that
they didn't exist.
I'm not saying that they didn't exist, Andrew. I'm just saying in like pop culture, in like extreme, like, the mainstream, there's been a flurry of these sort of things lately. I'm not saying that they have never been popular before and they've never existed before.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what you're saying. Son of a
would I? Am I? No. Am I?
I'm leaving it alone.
Seriously.
No, we talk about this a lot. Like, the idea of movies have always existed, and there are only three or pick a number types of movies, and they will forever always exist. You can always whittle down any film into one of those X number kind of movies. I mean, I guess my encyclopedic knowledge of the 90s isn't quite ready to be a reference at this point in time. But, like, I've seen a good amount of movies like this from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I can't name them right now.
Oh, but look, one of his feet. Falling off.
But it feels kind of weird to say that this was before the other big boom or something. I'm like, it's like if today we were to read an interview from Spielberg talking about when he made War Horse and how he was thinking of the John Ford films of the 40s and looking at those to kind of influence the way he made War Horse.
Yeah.
We don't... The idea of repopularizing something doesn't really come to mind, or talking about those references don't come to mind, as opposed to understanding this as what it is in the moment, as like trying to say it's different than what we're making now, so we should value it a little bit more.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying everything ebbs and flows, right? Or ebbs and... Ebbs and... What's the word? Ebb and... There's the opposite of it. I don't know why I can't remember that word at the moment. But and
can we make that the short name of the podcast?
Yes.
Opposite of Ebb.
The opposite of Ebb.
Ebbs and throws. Skips.
Oops. Shut up. but...
And oh, he's looking this up. I want to see if there's another website called this so that we can actually take this.
Mm-hmm. Opposite of Ebb.
But... And yes, there have been heist movies before, and there'll be heist movies later. But you know, there are times when they are popular, and there are times when they aren't. And I don't think there was this big thrust of popularity for this specific type of movie at the time. I don't think every other movie was a heist movie like it was when Ocean's 11 made people go batshit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Again, I'm not saying this as like some big authoritative person, but would you disagree with that?
Let me analogize this. I think Ocean's 11 did something for the popularization of that genre,
mm-hmm.
and more importantly, did something in the changing of how people played with that genre, which became a thing.
Yeah.
In the same way that Bullet Time popularized something from The Matrix, it wasn't that action movies became popular again. It was that there was a element of what that movie did that everyone decided to run with.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how Saving Private Ryan changed the way people thought of war movies. Or even action to begin with, I feel. So there are smaller elements as to how people are changing movies, and those become things. But to say that it brought back generalizing heist movies or generalizing war movies, I don't really think so.
Okay. Anyway.
Right.
What was I saying?
No idea.
this movie, well, first of all, this
right,
movie
you were
sucks,
saying this
right?
was the
but
first gambling movie. Right.
First one ever.
Right.
First we
one,
never
right.
saw a casino
right.
before. Well, like they never.
Right. You were saying Clive Owen invented gambling, right?
Yeah, he did. You see, croupier, that word didn't exist before Clive Owen said it.
That's
they,
why you don't know the word.
They wrote the script, and the script was called The Gambling Man Clive Owen. And Clive Owen was like, no, let's call it Croupier.
That sounds French. Stupid.
Yes. But so this movie is essentially a heist movie, and I don't like the way Clive Owen plays this movie. But then again, you can kind of say that about 99% of all of his movies.
What?
In the way that he acts, he's always, or a lot of the time, he's very kind of stiff. He's like, I'm this British guy, I speak in a monotone, I walk straight, I stand up straight, you know, I there's a stick up my ass, and
but he's British, isn't that characteristic of British people?
You know, I'm not like, I don't ever relax ever.
First of all,
but
stop being racist.
But and that's the way he plays his character.
I'm sorry, not Irish.
Whatever.
British,
yeah,
not Irish.
It's not racist then.
You need
that's
to,
fine.
Irish people, they're very jovial because they're always drunk.
Alright, so, sorry to cut you, but you know, whenever you guys bring up other nationalities, I always just say, you know, that's racist.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, someone decided to you know, challenge me on this. No, this is not a race. Or, right? She's like, you can't say that because...
Did she tell you that it was jingoist, not racist?
Like, it's not a race, so it's not racist. I'm like, yeah, I know that. There's an actual term for that. But if I say that term and I look around, no one will know. It won't be funny. No one knows what xenophobic means. I know it. No one else. She's like, yeah, but it's not xenophobic either. I'm like, okay, what is it then? You're being prejudiced. Okay. Alright.
She's not wrong.
She's also very far from being right.
You know what's funny is that at my office we actually had this exact argument about 5 days ago.
What? Yeah, no, it's not real. A country isn't a race.
It ended up with people going to Google.
Yeah, that's what she did. Yeah. She's like, no, I'm telling you. Oh, I'm so sad. So I'm going to stop talking to people.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
Well, anyway, this movie.
All right, you don't like
movie,
it.
I don't like it. It never shows any feeling. As you said, the narration itself is ridiculous. Again, with the monotone and there's no. I don't want to use the word heart, but there's nothing in this. There's no
for
spirit.
The man who hates,
I know, right? There's no spirit in this movie, right? It's very much I do one thing and then it follows by. It's one thing after another, and it's very machine-like, you know. And it's weird that they, now that I've watched the whole movie and I can kind of think back to it, I see all of the aspects that I suppose are technically needed for a heist movie. His father sets him up with this job, and even at the time, I realized no, he called it out. He said, "My father doesn't. He's not a cool guy, but all of a sudden, he's getting me a job. Something's not right here. He's dealing from the bottom of the deck, kind of thing." He loved to make those sort of metaphors, and it, you know, that then becomes really the catalyst for everything that happens in this movie. And the thing about it is, though, that I think what makes a good heist movie is that you almost have to be in on the heist, at least to some degree. Even if you don't know what's happening, you know that you're being manipulated. But for the longest while in this movie, you didn't. Or at least I didn't. I didn't feel manipulated. I didn't feel like I knew what was happening. I just felt like, okay, he got a job. And because the heist part of it came so late in the game, you kind of just, or I did, I forgot completely about the fact that, you know, his dad got him this job, and maybe that had something to do with this. It was almost like a throwaway to me. And everything that happens in this movie is just dealt with so little emotion. People die and it's just like, eh. It's just this movie has no, there's no enjoyment to watching this movie, right? And
I feel like there was much to make in this movie.
Yeah,
either.
Even though it tries, you know, as I said, it tries to set up the heist, it tries to set up this guy as this brooding, somehow enigma kind of guy. You know, clearly he was at least at one point well off. You know, he went to private school. Clearly something bad happened. He speaks about his father being a gambler all the time. He worked in South Africa, which I think, you know, they're kind of alluding to in this movie as being not a nice place. And now he's back in England, and you know, he's apparently he's all airy fairy because he dyed his hair blonde, and now all of a sudden he's serious because he took the dye out, and it's just.
And
this,
he's,
no, that
and
is
he's
just
a writer.
That is just corporate Clairvoyant versus hippie Clairvoyant.
Exactly, yeah, because hippies dye their hair, but
yeah, your hair wasn't.
This
blonde.
This movie is just.
He did have a cane though.
It's not good. I would go. as far to say I did not, I actively did not like this movie. Yeah.
I'm close to that. I just, like, because the, I don't like using this term, the groundswell of support for this movie.
That too. I didn't understand that.
Like, people think this movie is good. And more than just kind of good, people think this movie is outstanding. And so the only thing preventing me from giving this movie a 1 mm-hmm. is the fact that people think the movie is good and I want to watch it again to make sure that there's nothing. What I saw is what I saw. I don't want to go, oh, that's the thing. And now that I've seen, oh no, all of this makes perfect sense and why he behaves like this, why he's narrating like this.
Yeah.
But until then, I'm going to keep it at a 2, soft 2, pointing to a 1. Andrew Robinson, there's a smile on your face.
So, I'm going to keep it short.
Yeah.
Because we've already gone long. But let's break this down into pieces. Number one, I don't think this is a heist movie. There is a heist that occurs. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is a heist movie. Mm-hmm. Number two, this movie is fucking horrible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's an FTM. This movie.
The thing about this movie is like what you guys have been saying. The movie's cold, and it's like when I was watching, when I saw it, I wasn't seeing it as a specifically a heist movie. It seemed to me as a movie which was a movie which was about this guy and nothing really happened. He looked like he was the kind of guy who was inventing stories around himself. He felt almost like an Abed, except he, instead of Abed, who kind of makes everything into this weird, jovial, television-based idea, he turned it into some weird, monotone, novelized idea. And it reminded me a lot of a movie which I know the internet loves, I don't know about you guys, which I didn't really like that much, Double Indemnity. Where the thing about it is everything felt too purposeful, right? There are times with film noir where they tend to be narrated, they tend to have this feel to them where people intentionally always phrase things in a odd way because we like to play with words and it's fun. And the thing about that is that you're flipping a coin to every audience member as to whether they'll latch onto that or they'll think it's the craziest thing in the world. And it's not just about them knowing the words and not feeling distance. It's just a weird mechanic for movies. And this was one of those movies, like Double Indemnity, where everything just felt too purposeful for me. And I just wasn't able to connect with it. And it bothers me. And it made the movie turn into, instead of me doing what I should do with movies, which is completely following this character and everything he does and cheering for him to be the best croupier or bang that chick or whatever, I just sit there going, yeah, I guess you did that. I'm waiting for time to finish so I can go on to the next thing I wanted with my life. And that's how the movie kind of worked for me. It's boring.
Do you guys think this is a test? Like the dog tooth thing, where critics go, yeah, and they sit here and go, this. there's nothing here. There's nothing here for humans. Maybe we're not there yet. Maybe we just aren't film connoisseurs yet. Mm-hmm. Douglas?
Hmm?
No? It's just a shitty movie. Douglas, if you guys could see the Douglas is giving
me. I can't see the look on Douglas's face.
Douglas wants to hit me in the face only with his eyes. It's pretty good.
Doesn't mean that he intends to like physically push his eyes.
So this movie is Thumb certified
as bad. It's the opposite.
No, it's Thumb certified as bad.
Yes, we'll send that.
Okay,
I'm
putting that on the box.
Yes.
Thumb certified.
Tom disapproved.
Tom rejected.
The Mutombo finger.
And what it has on the box is, it's one of those boxes, one of those things where like when you change a view, it because it's actually wacky. Is the question, boy? Is the question? Is the question? Come on, the question. Is the question, boy? Is the question? Is the question? Last week, with me finally seeing the film Enemy, I was curious to ask people about movies that confused them or they didn't quite get, that at the same time they still loved. And the internet responded. Gabby Dunn at Gabrielle Shia responded with Cloud Atlas, which,
all right,
okay.
Yeah, that movie doesn't make sense. It's not your fault. There's nothing to get.
Adrian at Adri Fresco responded with 6 Degrees of Separation, which honestly I've actually never seen.
Me neither.
I only know it as the whole game with Kevin Bacon. Mm-hmm.
Bacon.
Is that movie any good?
People seem to like it.
I saw that hundreds of years ago.
Oh my goodness, Will Smith. I don't know.
He's gay in that one, right?
Yeah, apparently. And pretending to be somebody like Sidney Poitier's son.
Everybody, I remember watching. In fact, I've seen it a couple of times. It's just not memorable at all. Not to me, anyway.
Mike Vogel at Mike EV responded with both Mulholland Drive and Upstream Color.
Fuck you, Upstream Color.
You've picked two bangers there.
Wow.
If you find out, if they make sense, could you send me an email, please?
David Lynch, though, makes sense.
What? Where?
Have you seen Mulholland Drive?
I don't think I have.
You clearly haven't.
When I say makes sense, I mean makes sense as an answer to this
question. I cannot disagree with that.
That's a fact. At Rammy, WTS, responded with another film of David Lynch's.
Yep.
One which I agree with very much in the don't understand part, not quite in the enjoy part.
Oh, okay.
And that is Eraserhead.
Ooh.
Any of you guys seen Eraserhead?
When I see Eraser David Lynch's head. Name, I no, tend I to run screaming the opposite direction.
I remember I got into a big David Lynch mood. I don't think I actually did watch a lot of his movies, though.
You went through one and went, I can't do this.
I know I've seen Blue Velvet. I know I've seen a big portion of Twin Peaks. I'm not sure how far I got outside of those two. Oh, I watched Dune.
I'm sorry, what?
I thought you said movies.
That movie was not
Didn't
good.
You say movies? That's not a movie.
But my favorite response comes from Sean at Shauna WTF. And she responds with the David Cronenberg classic, Videodrome.
I haven't watched that movie.
I think it's an amazing movie.
You're bad people. Look, if you sit me down and you say, Damien, do you really like Cronenberg? I'm going to say no. All right, there are movies that he has that I like.
What about, what's it called? Is it Metropolis?
Cosmopolis. Right, if I'm asked under oath whether I like him or not, I'm going to be honest with you. No.
David Cronenberg to me is a 50-50 director. There are enough of his movies that I like and work for me.
He's like a 10.
But there are enough of them that don't work that I'm every time I sit down I'm flipping the coin. But Videodrome is special. I like that movie a lot. This week I watched for the very first time The Big Chill. And it's a big movie for the time. People talk about it a lot. There's been I've read a lot about people doing 30-year reunion screenings for the movie. I think it was last year, and this movie has possibly one of the best soundtracks I've heard on movies, and it made me curious because there are so many movies I love 90% of the time because of soundtracks.
What? You and Douglas. So unlike you.
Good music is good to hear. Uh-huh. And when I can press play on it, if it's in a movie or on a CD,
by the album.
I will enjoy it. I'm curious as to what your favorite movie soundtracks are, and this is not including musicals, obviously, because that's cheating. For Damien, it wouldn't really matter.
No, it does, because you have to tell him specifically, because he is dumb.
Right.
You have to tell him specifically that this also includes all Disney movies.
I'm sorry, what now?
Yup. That's right.
What are you talking about?
All Disney movies.
Are musicals.
Are musicals.
What are
so you
most
cannot,
of them, like 80% of them are
all
musicals.
All the cartoons, at least. So those
still
don't count.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Why would I throw my world away? Leather cook, backstroke, diet coke, antidote, loopers, universe, OC, episode, actress, mattress, newest sun, glasses, rock star, classes, backstage, passes, thought I told you she would mold you, mind she hold you like crazy glue, no crew, so cool, tell me what you gonna do.
All right, the Tom quiz. To let you guys know, this is 2000 until 2009, 2004 for
a win for life.
Life. 2004 for life. Thank you, Douglas. Where am I going? I don't even know where to start at this point. Which one of you two would like to start? I should let Andrew start because he was bragging so much the last time. Like, you're going to do 2010? 2014? Like, I know all the answers. 2 points.
2 points.
2 points.
How many points did he get?
Four.
Okay.
It's twice as much as you.
Damn right. 100%.
I will ask before you start.
Yes, sir.
Is the first question 2004?
For life? You'll have to figure that out.
Okay.
Definitely, maybe. Zach and Mary make a porno.
2008. Nick,
you are incorrect, sir.
Ooh.
2009. And Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. That's definitely maybe. Zach and Mary Make a Porno and Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. Three movies that I absolutely adore.
You're not allowed to, like, go to Box Office Mojo. You know this, right?
I was using Box Office Mojo, sir.
But that's an 08 film is what I'm saying.
I don't give a shit what IMDb says.
When did we start
I'm
this
working
podcast?
With Box Office
Did we start this podcast in 2008?
We started 09.
Okay.
Zach and Mira's first movie we talked
about
that's
January. Why, yeah, that's why I...
It had to be before
yeah.
then.
Again, using Box Office.
But it's a 2008.
I don't give a shit.
Alright.
Alright, fine. We are going to wave... If you get the question right, I'll give you 2 points.
Yay!
Fine.
I care
although
so
technically,
much.
Two of these movies did come out in 2009.
So, you
so you're still
up.
More wrong than right. Who gives a shit? Let's just go. Definitely, maybe, Zach and Mary Make a Porno, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
So my first question, just to make sure,
mm-hmm.
you're asking me, in order of box office, how much money these three movies made? In 2009, am I correct about that?
Throughout their entire lifetime.
Okay, alright.
Into infinitum.
Alright. I just wanted to make sure. It would help my answer.
I'm going to kick you in the face.
So, Nick and Nora, definitely maybe, and Zach and Mary, those are the movies.
Yes, sir.
In their lifetime, I am going to go with definitely maybe Zach and Mary. Nick and Nora.
You are incorrect, sir.
Mm.
Okay.
Douglas Robinson.
Piece of paper. I think I'm going to put Zach and Mira down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to switch Andrew's top two. So on top,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have Nick and Nora. And
mm-hmm.
in the middle, we're going to have
Definitely maybe.
Maybe.
Also incorrect.
No!
Definitely Maybe made $32.24 million. Nick and Nora made $31.48 million, and Zach and Mary made $31.45 million.
Wait, sorry, what? Definitely Maybe.
Definitely Maybe. Is
32.
First.
Zach and
32.
Mary second.
Zach and Mary is
last.
Third.
Third.
And Nick and Nora is second.
Where did you put Zach and Mary?
I put it in the middle.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I expected Nick and Nora to be the
least. I thought you put it at the bottom. Clearly, I don't listen.
Yeah,
I don't listen when people talk.
Shocking.
Okay.
Question number two.
I found that.
X-Men, the first one, Gladiator, the first one, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the first one,
Okay.
Would you like a hint?
That is probably, I think I know where it is, but yeah, sure, give me a hint.
The PlayStation 2 came.
Oh, the PlayStation 2.
There are four of them. This is the second one.
Whatever, I'm just going to go with when I remember watching these movies, which is 2001.
You are incorrect, sir.
Okay.
It's 02.
It's 2000.
That makes sense.
Would you like to fact check that as well?
No.
Dick.
I was.
I don't want to hear it.
But you will hear it.
Don't want to hear it.
I will be heard.
Gladiator and How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Okay, so I'm going to go with number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number one being Gladiator, number two being The Grinch, and number three being X-Men.
Incorrect, sir.
Okay.
Andrew Robinson.
Those are tough.
Not really.
Gladiator, X-Men, Grinch.
Incorrect. The Grinch made $260 million. Gladiator made $187 million. And
Grinch
X-Men made $157 million.
Figured the Grinch did
$100 million difference.
That well.
So you're both wrong. Question number three. If you get this wrong, I'm going to hit you in the face. Idiots. We're good idiots. Max Payne.
Oh, Christ.
Australia. Death Race. The three worst movies that came out that year.
Did I make you watch all of them?
Except Death Race. I did that to myself. I can't blame you for that.
Australia, that was 2009.
Congratulations.
So how can you have two 2009 years?
That is incorrect. It's 2008.
What?
Mm-hmm. It is 2008, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Alright.
You're wrong.
What?
You're wrong. How does it feel? Does it feel warm? Can't wait for him to do this. Mm-hmm. Max Payne. 2009. Oh, it burns.
It hurts my soul.
Yep.
Anyways,
you're wrong off the bat.
We're ranking these. It's Australia, it's
Max Payne and Death Race.
Death Race got shitty straight to video sequels. Max Payne got fucked, and Australia, people laughed at. I'm gonna go Australia number one. Death Race, then Max Payne.
You are incorrect, sir. Feels so good. Oh, Douglas Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
The three worst movies of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
The year the G1 came out.
I still like Australia. Because I've never watched it again.
Fair enough. Australia, Max Payne, and Death Race. Oh, movies suck now. Nope. They sucked in 2008.
I'm going to go with Death Race, Australia, Max Payne.
Incorrect. Australia made $49 million. Max Payne made $40 million. And Death Race made $36 million.
I knew it was a question as to which one was last. Australia was winning that.
All you thought that Max Payne made less money than Death Race is amazing to me. Question number four.
I gave Jason Statham more dollars than Mark Wahlberg. That's Jason's why.
All right, fine. Resident Evil Apocalypse, Blade Trinity, and Riddick. The Chronicles of.
What's the
hint?
Guess?
Facebook started that year.
Oh, that's 2004.
Congratulations.
For life!
Is it sad that I know that right off the bat? I could have maxed out because of when I watched Blade Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you say Facebook, I'm like, 04. Done. Yeah. Like, I know that.
The last one I made the hints ridiculous because it was years that you should have known. It's like 4 years of it.
That was the year I was at Lawrence and they were telling me to sign up for Facebook. This new thing happened and everyone was, and I refused. I didn't sign up until I was at UE and I had to wait further for UE to get it.
How did that work out for you?
I'm still sad.
Nah.
I'm still depressed.
I actually signed
Resident
up
Evil Apocalypse, Blade Trinity, and Riddick.
I'm gonna go with Blade Trinity number one, Resident Evil number two, and Reddit number
not even
three.
Close. Wow. Andrew Robinson.
Changes top two, so that will be what were the movies? Blade Trinity,
Resident Evil.
Okay,
Apocalypse.
So Resident Evil, Blade Trinity, and then the last one
is which one?
Riddick? I can't remember. Riddick, yeah.
Okay, Blade Trinity made 52 million. Resident Evil made 51 million, and Riddick made 57. So Riddick won, and you're both wrong.
Then why does that man need to keep paying for it himself?
Because he made 57 million. That's zero money. Question number 5. Bringing Down the House, Too Fast, Too Furious, still the worst name of a movie all time.
But Furious 6 and Fast 5.
I will take Too Fast, Too Furious? Really?
Alright,
oh my god. Yeah, alright.
You have to name them again. Start over.
Bringing Down the House.
Okay.
Too Fast Furious. And the best movie of all time, Bad Boys 2.
Shit, I can't remember the exact year.
Would you like a hint?
Give me a hint.
I think I know it.
Blu-ray came out that year.
Oh.
2006? Nope!
Hold on.
What year?
I'm gonna guess.
Alright.
But I'm calling bullshit on your Blu-ray unless Blu-ray came out way before I remember hearing about it. But I'm pretty sure that's 2002.
That's 2003.
Three?
Yep.
Oh, all right. I know it's in that region, but wow.
What the fuck is he doing? Now you're searching for when Blu-ray came out. In God's name, it's happening here.
April 2003.
Oh, shit, son.
The first prototype player was released.
Oh, shit. And by Christmas you could buy one. Okay, sir. Back to the business.
I'm just curious. Okay.
I don't give a shit.
You are like the science show that is saying, Andrew, you know this thing happened?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it did.
I remember that argument starting Blu-ray versus HD DVD in about 2004.
Yeah, it started in 2005 because the Xbox and PS3 were supposed to come out.
It was 06 when they came out. It was 06 and
PS3 came out in 06.
That's why I guess 06.
I know.
That's after the fight had gone on for a couple of years.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, not really.
No,
Xbox came out a year before and had the HD DVD.
Uh-huh.
And everybody went, Sony makes movies, and that box is garbage. And Toshiba was behind Microsoft.
Toshiba, yeah. Uh-huh.
But again, none of those companies make movies. Uh-huh. So everyone. Plus, Blu-ray. That's
okay.
Yours. Alright. Bringing Down the House. The next Fast and
Too Fast.
Stop it.
Too Fast.
And Bad Boys 2.
I'm going to hope for humanity.
Alright.
That's how I'm going to do this.
Fair enough.
Bad Boys 2 number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing Down the House number 2.
Okay.
And Too Fast, Too Furious number
3. He is correct.
Oh,
finally,
yes.
A point. Yeah.
Because
on the board.
Like, you have to think about it, Douglas. Fast and the Furious made the money, right? But they had to be so bad that they couldn't make any more Furious movies for a while.
That's true. That's true.
Finally.
That's
when
true.
Why haven't I got another Bad Boys movie? What is happening?
That was just bad mind.
Yeah, that is Michael Bay, son of a bitch.
Maybe Martin Lawrence screwed somebody's wife.
Transforming. Jerkbaggery. Douglas Robinson, you should get this right. This one's pretty easy. Knocked Up, Superbad, and Juno. This year was a good year.
I'm pretty sure I know which year it is, but give me a hint.
The iPhone came out.
Oh, that's... Hold on. Just make sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was the year before, 2007.
Congratulations. You got that
almost
wrong.
Almost said 08, but then I realized that's when I got my iPhone.
Yeah.
I got it a year after.
No, put them in order. Knocked Up,
you remember
Superbad,
that,
and Juno.
Yeah,
the first iPhone.
Yeah.
Remember how dumb it was?
I had my Arcos this year. It was beautiful. I watched Juno on said Arcos, which was a dumb idea.
You watched Black Books on Arcos?
Yes, I did.
Love Black
Books. It was a terrific idea.
I love that show.
You couldn't stop watching it.
So it's Juno, Knocked Up, and Superbad?
Superbad.
How does this work? Let's see. Juno was big shit, but so was Judd. And this was number two. This wasn't even the big one, the first one. This was the second one where people was like, I love Judd Apatow.
Judd Apatow.
Me, I'm super.
And then Superbad was fucking huge too. Damien, you little shit.
What?
I think he purposely goes in there and finds a movie. Goes like, this made 100 million. What movie made 99.9 million that year?
Except for the one that you got wrong, that there was a $103 million disparity between first and last.
Let's not talk about that
Except
one.
Except that one. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with.
Uh-huh.
I am going to go with.
Yep.
Number one is Knocked Up.
Fine.
Number two is Juno, and number three is. Yeah, number three is. I feel like I'm wrong, but number three is that other one.
Douglas finally gets 2 points.
2 points! I thought it was the other way around completely.
You'd have got bowed so hard. Knocked Up made 148, Superbad made 121, and Juno made 143.
Yeah. Juno's wow, I swear Juno kind of tipped at the 100.
Went on to make almost 150. Question number 7.
Fuck you, that's my answer.
Fair enough. A Knight's Tale, Training Day, and Swordfish. Three of my favorite movies that came out that year.
I know when this was.
Would you like a hint, sir?
Give me the hint.
The iPod and iTunes came out that year.
Yep. This is really easy.
That don't help me.
How can that not help you?
Anyway, when you get it wrong, iPod I would came like out. To. I would like to guess.
It won't be a guess. The iPod came out.
So, what were these movies again?
A Knight's Tale, Training Day, and Swordfish.
Nope.
Oh my god.
One?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is three.
You're a bad person.
Now put them in order.
By the way, we probably shouldn't be putting up fingers on our radio show.
Douglas said 2001. Andrew said 2003. This is why I forgot for a second that there is no video to go along with this. I'm very sorry.
We all forgot, except Douglas. But we forget him all the while, so.
Could you put them in order?
So this is A Knight's Tale, this is Training Day,
and
this is
Swordfish.
Swordfish. Swordfish was garbage.
Yes. Such good garbage.
But these all seem like movies which are sub 50 million movies.
I like this logic.
I'm going to go A Knight's Tale, Training Day, then Swordfish.
Not even close.
Wow.
Swordfish was number one, mm-hmm. Knight's Tale was number two, and Training Day is number three.
And survey says also wrong.
Oh,
Training Day made 76 million, Swordfish made 69, and A Knight's Tale made 56.
Halle Berry's breasts pop people to the theater.
Yeah. Not enough to be Training Day, though.
I remember when I went to university, which is how I know this is 2001.
That's all you watch.
Swordfish. I know I had Training Day on DVD while I was in university.
When I went up there, that was the first time I went to New York or any big city, and they had Knight's Tale promotion just all over the fucking place. So yeah, that's how I know it's definitely. And then even when the first semester, it was probably the second semester actually, I was at college. They had the Knight's Tale screening, and so I went and I watched it. Yeah, 2001.
Question number 8: Little Miss Sunshine, The Prestige, Pan's Labyrinth. Arguably the three best movies that came out that year.
Okay, this is late-ish. This is after I got home. So.
Would you like a hint?
This is in between Batman. Yeah, give me a hint.
Twitter started.
I came home 5. Mm-hmm. Batman was pretty soon. I'm gonna go with 2007.
Isn't 07 already gone?
Yes, 07
so
is already
06.
Gone. Congratulations.
Twitter started in 06?
Yeah.
Goddamn right it did.
About there. I wasn't sure the exact year.
Wow.
I haven't written down 2007
8 years
for
old.
Some reason.
Oh, Twitter is so hip and cool. 8 years.
Why haven't I written down 2007? That's not cool.
Twitter isn't hip and cool anymore. If you want to be hip and cool, you use... I'm stopping that sentence right there.
Uh-huh. Snapchat.
4chan.
I hate myself. Actually, I
IRC.
Funny enough, we were watching a trailer IRC. For a movie recently, and it said it was doing promotions through Snapchat.
Oh yeah, that
and
was
I can't
so
believe
weird.
That. That sounds so
that.
Odd to me.
Yeah.
To be using Snapchat for promotion stuff.
Hey, old man. Stop being an old man. Whose question is it?
Mine.
Can you give me an answer, sir? Little Miss Sunshine, The Prestige, and Pan's Labyrinth.
Okay, I'm gonna go with number one, Pan's Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Little Miss Sunshine, and then the third one.
Nope.
Okay.
Sunshine, Prestige, Pan's.
He's correct.
Wow.
Andrew gets.
How the fuck does Pan's a foreign movie beat?
No. Sunshine made 59, Prestige made 53, and Pans made 37.
Wow.
Question number
Sunshine was
9.
100 movie. Oh well.
Question number 9. This is the year that rappers took over movies. Crash. Are we there yet? And Be Cool.
So that was 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because I was I saw Crash in the theater, in at large.
Oh yeah, how did that treat you?
So Douglas good. Can tell you, I loved it until later in life when I realized
yeah,
I was
did.
Wrong.
He
it's
really
on
did.
The shelf. It's
oh, yeah.
on the shelf.
Yeah,
I have it on the shelf.
And he bought it and he made me watch it.
Like
and
it was a good
I
movie.
Remember,
I
remember
the real things
that
he
in that movie. It got to the point where I realized what the movie was. And I'd keep saying, I bet you he does this. I bet you he does that. And they just kept
I
doing exactly.
That he actually liked
so
this movie.
Stupid. Holy
shit. If I had remembered, I would have put it in there.
So the name of the movies again. Crash.
Crash, Are We There Yet? And Be Cool.
Be Cool.
Right. Luke, it's Ludacris versus One of the Ices versus
Andre.
The Rock. Nope. Versus The Rock.
But you said rappers.
I don't
the
care.
Rock was
as far as I'm concerned.
Listen.
Andre 3000 should never be in anything.
So Crash, Be Cool, and
Are We
There
Yet?
Oh shit. I'm going to not trust humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike previous.
Right.
I'm going to go
Crash
one number
Oscars.
One. Fuck. Be Cool, then Are We There Yet?
Nope.
Fucked up in the bottom too.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Are We There Yet number one.
Mm-hmm.
Be Cool and Crash.
Congratulations, Douglas makes gets a point.
Wow.
Yes. Are We There Yet made 82 million. Be Cool made 56. That shitty of a movie.
That's still
Crash
on my shelf. Do you want the DVD?
I'd rather shoot myself and everybody I know in the face. You scumbag. Question number 10.
I should pop that in and watch that one day just
Douglas,
to punish
what
myself.
Year is this?
I know what year it is, but just to make sure that I haven't fucked up, just tell me the movies.
Is it for life?
Is it?
Is the
not
year
for life.
Life?
Nope. 2004 for life. Minority Report.
2000 for life.
Triple X.
Yep.
And 8, man.
2002.
Congratulations.
So, Minority Report, Triple X,
came
up. And 8 Man.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
At peak pause.
Who won
Vin
that?
Diesel at peak pause.
Who would win
and the
this
movie that ruined computer interfaces for the rest of time.
Who would win this competition?
No, you don't.
That movie is awesome. All right,
I'm gonna go with
love that movie.
Garbage.
I'm gonna go with.
Are you serious?
Triple X, Minority Report, and then what was the last one?
8 Mile.
8 Mile.
Douglas is right.
Yeah.
Holy shit!
Douglas with 5 points out of a possible 15. Andrew with 2.
Ooh.
Andrew, you're getting caught. Right quick, son.
I've made the game interesting.
Oh
man.
Yeah, that's
I
what you're doing.
I can't just blaze.
Yep.
Right? I have to make it interesting.
Uh-huh. You keep telling yourself that. And then one day, it will be true.
One day fairies will come down and talk to me.
I don't know about that, but you'll have to take that off with the podcasting board. I don't know what kind of nonsense you people.
The Royal Board of Podcasts.
So what's the score? What's the updated score?
So with the Andrew just
with
made
how many weeks gone?
A whopping two. After 5 weeks, Andrew is at 14 points. Douglas, after starting down 5-1, is now at 13 points.
Two.
So it's a 1 point game.
A 1 point game with 5 weeks to go. And then we'll see who will emerge victorious.
Oh, but this is a 10-week thing? You didn't say
initially
that before. Okay.
10's our own number. I like 10.
Okay. Oh, baby. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Back into the man I that I said I wouldn't do, I did them. Secrets below the surface, the truth I hit them. As mankind has passed, I can erase the tears of a million years. This human race of animals that talk and walk upright, the slave all day and fall into trance at night.
Why, just in time. Pull up a chair.
Doc, been hitting awful hard, haven't you?
Nonsense. I've not yet begun to defile myself.
I was wondering if maybe you wouldn't want to go on.
I will not be part of that. Thank you very much.
That's right. That can go on day and night and then some. That's my loving man. Have another one, my loving man.
Come here.
Hey. Loving man. You've been called.
Oops.
What is that now? The 12 hands in a row holiday? Son of a bitch, nobody's that lucky.
Why, Ike, whatever do you mean?
Take it easy, boys.
Maybe poker's just not your game, Ike.
This week, tying in with Croupier, Damien's favorite movie ever.
Crappy.
He decided to ask us to talk about our top five films about gambling.
I like to gamble.
I think I'd be interested to see that. Damien gambling.
Cashpot is my favorite. And by favorite, I mean I've played
Lotto doesn't count as gambling.
Played it twice.
Have you won?
Oh, like 8 years ago or something like that, when my friends were excited, like, yeah, we have a system. I gave them money just to watch what they do, and they bought all the numbers, not realizing that math works like math. So they did win. They just spent more money
because they won
because they're idiots. And I was willing to pay to show them that they're idiots.
And that's the point in time in life where you realize gambling doesn't pay.
That's the point where I realize I should stop talking to these people because they're idiots. But speaking about gambling and pain, my fifth favorite movie about gambling is real straightforward. It's Ocean's 11. Because it was the first... using Douglas's logic, it was the first movie robbing a casino and gambling, right? At least in my generation, right?
Yeah, of course.
The whole world has seen Ocean. Like, I don't need to talk about this, right?
It's even a remake.
Soderbergh called every famous person he knew. The ones that said no were never seen again. And the ones, the 80 or so that said yes were featured in this movie. And it will be ripped off for time and all eternity. Douglas Robinson.
Oh, me next. Great! Now, it's time to play what movies are Douglas taking from, or is Douglas taking from everybody else. And the first one is the most obvious one. Is, you see, I share something with Wilfred, right? Have you guys ever watched the show Wilfred?
Mm-hmm.
It's about a dog. A dog who loves Matt Damon. Matt Damon's gambled a bunch of times. He gambled in Ocean's 11.
Mm-hmm.
But he also gambled when he stuck it to a Russian man in Rounders. And that movie. That movie is awesome.
I stick it in you?
I remember me and Andrew used to watch this movie like almost constantly when it first came out on Stars.
I realized I hit a wall with that movie.
Yeah.
While I was in Lauren, in Wisconsin, when I went to someone's house to play poker,
mm-hmm. and they had that movie playing. Like, I was like, guys, really? Oh my goodness. But yeah, that movie was fantastic. As much as you can hit the wall, I'm sure if it came on, if I put it on now, you'd be like,
I have to discover.
Yep. Exactly. That movie is just
fantastic.
I like
that movie. And I think it's more Ed Norton love than Matt Damon love.
You think so?
I think, I do like Matt Damon. And yeah. I like all of his movies. But yeah. When I watch that movie, Ed Norton gets more fun than Matt Damon.
You know what? Ed Norton is cool with the whole, he kind of did the eating thing before Brad Pitt did the eating thing. In that movie, but
we could also Dean Martin did the eating.
There you go. But actually, for me, the person, if we're talking about just generally, forget, you know, the big two stars, if you're talking about who made that movie for me, it's John Malkovich. Yeah.
Stick it to him.
Oh,
Oreos.
Love that movie.
I want some Oreos. anyways, I left that off my list purposefully because I'm sure it was gonna go
some deep fried Oreos.
But my number five, kid you not, as horrible as that sounds, I probably would eat it if someone was like, here, have some deep fried Oreos.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I tried that.
My number five is a childhood favorite film of mine. It's a movie that I think more than Rondo's at the time I watched, like, any time it was on television.
Sneakers.
And I adore it. This is the Mel Gibson classic, Maverick.
Yes! Damn it, I thought nobody was going to take it, so I put that one up. I love Maverick so much.
Guys, I adore Maverick.
Barely a movie.
I adore Maverick. Guys, Mel Gibson will always be Maverick to me. He won't be Riggs. He won't be...
What? What?
What? Just stop. Guys, let's not say things we can't take back now.
He's Maverick.
Alright, so the British like to gamble.
Oh, you motherfucker!
Especially when there's two smoking barrels in
there. Oh, no!
I think we picked a topic with very little score room.
And so when you lock and stock those two smoking barrels, what you get is magic.
Yes.
This movie's incredible.
It is.
I remember the first time I saw it, I thought, like, it felt like I stumbled across, like, contraband. I'm like, no one else has ever seen this. Only Damien has seen this. And would show it to everybody. Watch this. Watch this. Only to find out later, the whole world's seen this movie. It's not special. Everyone's seen it.
You're not special.
Yeah, not at all. The quicker you learn that, the better off you'll be. It's fun. This movie, more than all the other movies on my list, is a fun watch.
Maverick is more fun.
Listen, I'm not talking to you on your shitty. Next year, going to say Wild Wild West, and I have to punch you in the face. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. I love it a lot.
Damn
just
it.
Like everybody else.
Damn it. Okay. Well. Since we're really getting into Douglas's movies, because Douglas no longer has five movies now. So we talked about British people, and British people tend to gamble a lot, apparently.
That's racist.
Well, it's not racist if my movie's British, because now we've got the sum total of two British movies with gambling. So two is bigger than one, Damien.
Mm-hmm.
And two
forms a pattern.
Forms a trend.
Mm-hmm. So your profile is
almost as annoying as one.
You're not racist, it's your profile.
So, you know, it also helps that, you know, you are the biggest spy in the movie world.
Fucking asshole.
And while I could probably say any one of his movies... It has to be one. And that one is the Casino Royale.
I wasn't even thinking of that. You know what? No one came
fucker.
With my mind.
Which one?
It is...
Shit. Oh, Goldfinger?
No, not Goldfinger. It's the one where Connery came back.
Oh, yeah.
It was
Diamonds
Are Forever. It's an unofficial...
Oh, no. Never
movie.
Say never again.
Because he has that thing with the machine.
Is that... That's not the same one, is it?
Where that's what we're in the video game.
Oh, it is. Yes, you're right. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, for some reason, that one just came
to my brain. Oh, my goodness. But no, Casino Royale. Remember, that was the kind of bouncing on off point, or the, what's the word, crossover point of one Mads Mikkelsen. So I remember watching that movie and kind of being like, oh, who's this guy? Whatever, this guy's like a Bond villain.
And you heard Bond go, more to the left, more to the left.
Yes. And somehow he has parlayed that role into being the best person ever.
I think it's the best that actor. Role and like every other role.
I know.
It's pretty good.
But yeah, Casino Royale, number what, 4?
I don't give a shit what he does.
So, my number 4 is a movie that I saw for the very first time this year. With Douglas, actually.
Fuck you, Andrew. And I was gonna... Now I have no more movies on my list.
So you just stop talking. And this movie is fantastic. It is Hard Eight.
Fuck!
Or otherwise known as Sydney. Directed by Paul
Why
Thomas
Why did I even bother making this list? Even the ones that I don't want to be on my list are being taken. What's the point? Should I just want my top 5?
If you want a man to teach you how to make a living in a casino, it's this man played by Philip Baker Hall in Hard Eight. I love this movie, and even more the great scene with Philip Seymour Hoffman appearing. That's pretty fantastic, guys.
Philip Seymour makes everything better. It's like struggle. Well, I guess I don't have... this is the only one that no one has said. Movies about gambling. How about Casino?
Yeah, you took my number one. You guys finally touched something on my list.
Because, of course, friggin' Casino. Do you like mafia movies? Okay. Do you like gambling? I'd like to point you to Casino. It is just true. There are scenes in this movie that will ruin your life forever. And you'll watch them over and over again. I'm surprised that, like, of all the movies of that, like the mafia gangster type movies, the one that people talk about most is Scarface. Right? Scarface is the I'm the ultimate gangster guy, whatever. But if I had to pick between, like, honestly pick between Scarface and Casino, I take Casino every single day.
I generally, like, I always go, like, we have all of those friends, all those people who all of them glorify Scarface. You can see it in the movies. The people always glorify Scarface. I always go towards the Scorsese side of the gangster films.
Really love Scarface though.
I actually haven't watched Scarface in forever.
Stop it.
It's been a while.
To what? So good.
It is
sure
so good.
It's 19 hours.
But most Scorsese movies are, so.
But you have to really understand Tony Montana.
Because his word on his balls was
that's it.
Okay. So
and not to pick a whole host of albums.
It's time for me to... It's time for the bad mind to become active.
Alright.
Alright. Now, this movie's alright.
You're a Beanie Man?
Yeah, this movie's okay.
I'm pretty sure you guys are not touching anything.
But guess what?
List.
You know what? I now no longer have any great movies on my list to talk about. So I'm going to talk about one that I think is alright and I know is going to be on Andrew's list. So, The Color of Money. Is fuck you. He just shook his head.
No,
I didn't
you
steal
the wrong
it.
One.
I took the wrong one. I should have picked the other one. But anyway, The Color. Actually, no, I do enjoy The Color
I
of Money.
I love The Color of Money.
Yeah,
it's
that's
a lot
why,
more fun.
That's why I thought you'd have it on your list. Because
when you have Tom Cruise dancing
you
around,
you used to go
oh.
ape shit over that movie.
But the first one,
yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah, I figure it's more. I still haven't watched the first one.
You don't know the first one?
You don't... Oh, wow. He doesn't know that The Color of Money is a sequel. Ooh, hoo, hoo. Anyway.
Why would I know that?
Yeah, so The Color of Money. Pretty cool movie with Paul Newman, Tom Cruise, and her name is Mary Elizabeth Mastrano or something like that.
I don't know her name. I know Tom Cruise.
I know. You know why I know her? Because she's in a bunch of other movies that I love.
One being The Abyss, which is pretty cool. The other one being one we just talked about, called Scarface. You know she's the sister in Scarface, right?
I never placed it, actually.
Feel free to watch The Abyss.
Right?
Ruin your life for about worst movie.
But yeah, that...
Do you actually like The Abyss? When was the last
time? I actually like The Abyss. Last time I saw it, probably on TV, fairly recently.
What?
But I used to watch it when I was in college a lot, because my roommate loved that movie. And
and you were all high, oh shit.
Of course, and that's the only reason we liked it. But,
what?
No,
Water Alien.
That movie is fun.
It's garbage.
It's, you know, whatever. But, so, the gambling movie that we're talking about, pretty decent.
So you were close.
And you're about to...
But my number three is The Hustler.
Okay.
Right? The film where Paul Newman birthed the character of Fast Fingers Eddie Felsen. And his entire goal in life was to be the best pool player. And he had to go up against the greatest, played by Jackie Gleason. And the movie is, like most old movies which deal with these things, it's very small. The drama is very contained. And it offers a really, really minute growth within the character that you end up enjoying so much when it happens. I do love The Color of Money, and guys, I will forever love Tom Cruise dancing in the 80s, talking about video games and how they are the future. But I'm sorry, The Hustler is a better movie.
These movies that I'm about to say wouldn't have ordinarily made the list. But since Rounders and Casino Royale have been unceremoniously taken from me by jerks.
Who are these people you're talking about?
Scumbags that I do this podcast with, which I should never talk to.
Where did they go?
I'm going to go with James Caan.
Never watched that movie.
The Gambler.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a good movie.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
So he's a gambling addict. And he's James Caan. And it just goes from there. Let's say he doesn't end up in good places. Let's just say that. Because this movie came out... 1974! Wow. 1974. 70s movies. It was in color. So I assume it came out way, way later than that. Yeah, it's...
They had color in the 70s.
Can I come off this podcast now? I never talk about Andrew again. Yeah, it's pretty good. They deal a lot with, you know, the addiction side of it. You see it and you see what it does to him. And if you've never seen James Caan act, then you're in for a treat because he is tremendous. And he has a face and a voice that perfectly matches that face. I like it. Not as much as some other movies. Namely Casino Royale.
Yep. Okay, so a movie that, like Andrew, I watched for the first time this year, actually with Andrew again, so, you know, we've got the that theme going.
Mm-hmm.
David Mamet.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote and he directed a movie by the name of House of Games. And, ooh, it looks like Douglas touched Andrew's list.
But no, I actually need to look up a new one.
Oh, Andrew goes to his computer. Alright, but yeah, House of Games. A pretty cool movie about gambling, but also mainly about con men. And how dirty they can be.
So, my number two film is something that I guess I've always loved, and I don't know how you guys haven't put this on your list yet. No, I'm not talking about it. It is a classic film.
No, it's not.
And it is brilliant. It is The Sting. It is with Robert Redford and Paul Newman.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching us about the long con.
Yep.
And the always drift. Always taking us into the card room. It's like, if you've seen Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, this is the other movie you need to see. I kind of always pair them up in my mind. And I just love them, guys. This movie's great, Sting.
But in Butch Cassidy they went to a foreign country.
Someplace like Bolivia.
Yeah. This thing has nothing to do with Bolivia. How is it a sequel? You did say, just can't. You actually tried to piece it together. Stop.
I wasn't doing anything. Stop. I was just letting it go.
My number one is Casino Royale, but can't say that anymore. So I'll go with National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation.
Wow!
Because why not?
Whoa!
I tell you, when people scrape the bottom of the barrel,
because why not at this point? That's a movie with gambling, right, guys?
Seriously? No, you need to. No, I need you to justify you that.
All right, do a real pick.
Right. Ah, okay. Actually, that was just to buy time for me to find my number
Shocking.
One.
Shocking numbers.
But okay, so are we going with that? Is it my turn?
Absolutely.
All right, my number one is going to be something similar. But at the same time, I really do like this movie. And I've learned that there are actually a bunch of this guy's movies from, I would say, somewhere in the 80s and 70s. That I just generally enjoy because they're just feel-good movies. They're just movies that, you know, they're not trying to be anything big or pretentious or you know, saying anything. It's just a fun movie to watch. And this is a movie starring a guy who's been in a lot of big movies, Richard Dreyfuss, and it is called Let It Ride. And it's just really, it's one of my favorite sort of movies in a sense. It doesn't exactly fit the form. So my favorite movies are the 80s and the 70s kind of one crazy night movie. This is kind of like that movie, but it puts it on our head because it's really one crazy day movie. It's a movie about this guy. He's an incorrigible gambler. He can't stop, right? And this is about that one day when finally it goes right for him. He gambles on horses, and throughout the day he just takes... Yeah, you know this movie. Yeah. So he starts off with, I don't know how much money, but whatever it is, he starts off with some money and he just lets it ride on every race in the day, and for some reason his horses just keep winning. And there are times when it looks like something bad's gonna happen, and then he wins. And at the end of the day, you know, he wins it all. He gets his girlfriend to love him and everything is all right with the world. And that's just, it's just a fun, fun, fun movie.
So my number one, unaudible because people, jerks I do this podcast to Casino. the real best gambling movie of all time. My number one film is a film that, though I didn't think of this initially, kind of works out as a really good gambling movie that we should have brought up on this list by now. And it's a unique movie in that it ends with a parlay.
And I was just watching it like the other day. I've seen this movie at least 20 times already. Actually, not true, but like holy potato.
I saw it like 4 times in the theater.
Oh, I only saw it the once, but I
love this movie.
I like, especially recently, it's been on TV a lot. And for some reason, I've been watching TV a little bit more. And anytime it's on, I'll just leave it. I'll let it play.
I would say that I watch it more for the dance ending, but it's all within a bet. So I'm still in the clear. When you talk about the movie, you have to talk about Robert De Niro and the fact that he's living his life now as a bookie.
Do you have to?
You do. You have to.
Do you?
Yes.
No, I don't.
It's in the contract. Mm-hmm. Whenever you start the movie, there's a EULA, which has it going. Like, it is probably the most depressing aspect of that movie, but somehow, because it's a feel-good movie, towards the end it becomes their victory moment when they have that parlay, and I adore this movie. Let me make this clear. I adore Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah,
shocking.
Yeah. Andrew, do you know what the official motto of New York is? Fucking Excelsior.
Bear moment. Perfect bear moment. Oh.
Oh, you like them apples.
Damon is just not approving of our
moment. This movie, but nowhere near as much as you guys like this movie.
Oh, I think I really, really, really like David O. Russell. I mean, he has his faults, he has his fighters, but like that guy can make a movie.
I rewatched Three Kings recently.
I like that movie.
Don't like that movie as much.
Really?
Oh. Anyways.
Honorable mentions. Kill Them Softly.
Fuck that movie. I should give that movie another chance.
No,
actually.
Just leave these good movies alone.
Honorable mention. Every movie that Damien and Andrew said.
Jerks. I had The Color of Money in honorable mentions. I had House of Games in there in honorable mentions.
I have four movies that I haven't ticked. Those are Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, Hard Eight, Ocean's 11, and Maverick. Oh,
yeah,
my
old
goodness.
Timer.
Oh,
Ocean's
12.
Ocean's 13.
I didn't want to go down that road.
Exactly.
Because they're not as good.
Ocean's 12 is the best out of the three. I'll go that far.
Nope. You are incorrect, sir.
But
valiant
anyways,
attempt, but no.
But anyways, this is the Only Movie Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
As always, you can hear you can read Douglas's tweets over
I tweet loudly. You know that, right?
You can
over
hear.
At DJ Arlossi's name, still crying Chelsea's place in the league this year.
Chelsea.
Damien,
why?
He's on Twitter still.
I just want City to win out now. City needs to win out.
For life.
My killers is with me.
Still loving Fudge. And I'm on Twitter at Gman Reviews. Constantly making weird references to me coding now. As always, you can hear the podcast over on the site at gmanreviews.com or through iTunes and Stitcher.
When did iTunes start again? 2003?
It was about 97.
2003.
You can fuck.
You can fuck anywhere.
On the
time.
Hey,
if that's what
the
you're
laws
that's where you're
are
going.
The laws, and no, you cannot.
Imagine Judge Dredd actually existed. I think a lot of laws would be followed. I don't know why people are breaking laws in Judge Dredd world.
You know what? Let's just leave it at that. Guess what, guys? You can fuck.
Thanks so much for listening and good night.
Just in case you were unaware. Trapped on the earth like walking. I meditate day to day so I can stay on the right path. How many know just what I'm feeling? The earth keeps revealing songs you can't sing to the non-believers. Deceivers, they can't see this. They're blind to the fact, but I can't relax. I keep running. See the light towards the sun and they keep shunning. But I bow my head to the one and I can't lie. So euphoric, I wanna fly up to the heavenly hills where love chills. He told me, son, fire.